Welcome to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. This is your host, Art Bennett. On Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls, we try to make sense of the world, looking at issues that are important to us as Christians and also live our lives as best we can. Today, we're going to talk about communication, which is just so critical both for the faith but also for living our daily lives. And to do so, we brought in, well, I think in my opinion, one of the most foremost experts in communication and marriage therapy, Dr. Bernard Gurney. Dr. Gurney, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. Let me tell the folks a little bit about you. Dr. Gurney is the founder of the National Institute of Relationship Enhancement and internationally recognized as one of the most prominent and innovative practitioners of marital and family therapy. His methods have been developed and refined in over 35 years of practicing, teaching, and supervising people on marriage therapy and ways to help clients. He's had workshops and presentations that have gained high praise and great enthusiasm on four continents. Dr. Gurney is the founder and director of the National Institute of Relationship Enhancement, and I'll give you that number now. We'll give it again later if you want more information on his multiple writings and tapes and workshops. And it's 301-986-1479, and the email is info@nire.org. Well, Dr. Gurney, we're going to talk today about communication, and I'm just honored that you could join us here. You've written so much about it. You've talked so much about it. You've trained so many different people, and it's just an honor to have you on the program to help us understand this whole issue. First thing I want to talk about, I think that there was a lot of optimism about communication, let's say in the 60s and 70s, that people really focusing on how to talk to each other and pay attention to each other. I think there was a sense almost out there that, gosh, with improvement in communication, we can change the world, and this should put all problems behind us. You've been in this field a long time. Where do you see the most people's opinion, the professional opinions of communication skills today? Is it kind of delivered the promises that it was hoping to deliver, do you think?
Well, there may have been some over-expectation about what it could do. I don't think that, for example, that it enough to solve problems, say, between nations because they're more determined by socioeconomic forces than they are by communication. And but I think between people who are intimate and care a lot about each other and are, not engaged in a competitive win-lose kind of situation, and the positive part of that equation is that I describe, where it's a win-win situation between the two people if they get along, and it's they're not competitive, basically, as is the case with people who are in love, people who are married, and want to make a go of a relationship, that communication remains, absolutely, good communication remains absolutely essential to doing that.
You mentioned an interesting word right in the beginning there, Dr. Gurney, about intimacy. So when it's a situation where intimacy is at stake, if I hear it correctly, if we're talking about getting closer to each other, if we're talking about kind of, sharing the deepest part of ourselves, that's where communication really, really becomes important. Is that right?
Exactly. Right. There are, nonverbal ways of doing it, but the verbal ways are really crucial. I think in situations like that, there are always conflicts that do arise whenever anybody is sharing space intimately with somebody else and resources, that things are, there are bound to be some kinds of conflicts, and you need good communication to really work those through.
I want to highlight that a little bit, your comment, because I noticed that in a lot of your writings, is you really kind of normalize that some conflicts, some disagreements are a normal, typical thing that's going to happen when two independent people get together with their own ideas and goals and visions, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're in the midst of pathology or anything. It's just that when people get together, there's going to be some rough spots on the road. Is that right?
Absolutely. And if people feel that there's a failure associated with things when there is a conflict, and they tend to deny that there is to themselves or to their partner, or they try to sweep a problem under the rug, usually that's a bad strategy. And over time, it works against the couple and against the relationship. And it's much better to have confidence and ways of communicating that will allow you to resolve the problem. And if you have that kind of confidence, then you tend to do it. If things have gone badly because one or both parties don't know how to communicate well, then it may lead to trouble and discouragement, and that sort of cycles in a bad way to make things even worse.
Yeah, confidence is a big part of your model. Your model is considered, I think, be a skill training model. That is where people acquire in consultation with you or your colleagues acquire certain skills that they might not otherwise have. And with that skill, one builds up their confidence. You're not so intimidated by problems or issues. Someplace you've written the following. I have a quote from you. It is not the actual problems or disagreements themselves, but how couples deal with partnership disagreements that usually determines whether they are satisfied or dissatisfied with their relationship. I think this is somewhat counterintuitive to some of us, thinking that it's the problem that's governing it here, but you're kind of saying it's not so much the problem, if I hear you correctly, it's how we manage or what we do with the problem that is going to make the big difference. Is that correct?
I think that's generally the case, yes. In an intimate relationship, that is, in my view, that holds true.
So we need not. So you're talking about building up the confidence. If we have the skills of addressing the issue, and this is true of other areas of life too. I mean, if I really have enough tools in my toolbox, if I feel confident I can handle things that come down the pike, I'm not as paralyzed by them. But if I don't feel I have the skills or the abilities, that's when the problems start to overwhelm us and discourage us. So your model is a skill-based model. Do people feel comfortable learning new skills? I mean, I think people come in saying, I want to solve a problem. And do they always connect the dots between acquiring skills and solving the problem?
We do have to explain that to people how that works, but they generally get it, you know, quite quickly and quite well, and agree that would be helpful to them. And very often start right off with showing them how that will work. And the way we teach them and the way we deal with it, we can begin to work on problems right away, and they can see the benefits of it.
We're talking with Dr. Bernard Gurney, and in the next segment we'll get into some of these skills that he's talking about that raises confidence so that our communication skills are such that, well, we're not as intimidated by problems. In fact, maybe if the skills get high enough, you kind of look forward to leaning into problems and leaning into discussions and building intimacy in your marriage. You're listening to Healthy Minds, Healthy Souls. We'll be back with you in just a moment.